Hey folks, Brian here. I am talking to you from some weird little loft space in Dallas. I'm on tour with TWRP at the moment, and they are doing their VIP thing, and I am here editing a podcast. Anyway, I wanted to let you know that we do not have a video version of today's episode, which is a really fun one. Layton and Allie got high on 420 and talked about video games for a while. So that's what you're in for today. There's no video, but please do support us at patreon.com/laytonnight and come see me while I'm on the road. You can get tickets. It's me, Twerp, and Nelward. Tickets are at tix.to/TWRP.
Covered in whatever, it's juiced with diamonds and hash, whatever that means.
So welcome to another episode of Layton Night without Brian Wecht.
That's so sad when you put it that way. It's so sad.
No, we suddenly gained like 5,000 subscribers just by that alone. We were dropping some dead weight off this show.
Oh man, okay,
cleaning it up.
But that's weird because your name on here is Brian Wecht.
Who says I'm not?
So what is the truth?
I speak for him like the Lorax speaks for the trees.
And the Onceler speaks for my pussy.
Allie, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Now, what day, what national holiday, international holiday,
international,
are we celebrating today?
We're celebrating the beautiful 420th. That's not how months work. Wait a minute. The fourth month of the 24th year of the second millennium. Oh, I'm so cool right now. It took me a second, but
you're
I got
awesome.
There. We're celebrating Marijuana Day. It's 420, baby. We're going to fucking blaze
tobacco.
It. Mary Jane. All those
Jazz
beautiful names.
Cigarettes.
Jesus Christ. No, I don't want weather updates on my computer. I just got blasted in the ears by the Windows update sound. If that had happened after I had smoked this thing, I would have pissed my pants, I think. Just like, Jesus.
Yeah, so everybody, to catch you up to speed, Brian's on tour. The episodes you've been hearing were ones that we ruthlessly banked before Brian left for tour. In the interim between us recording those and Brian leaving for tour, I fell off my roof and I broke 7 bones in my ankle and foot, and that
I
was
shouldn't
like,
have laughed.
No, you should laugh harder. I mean, what's the point of any of this if it's not funny eventually? That's
exactly.
Literally the only thing pushing me through this.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
2 days before Brian leaves for tour, like it's his final weekend home with his family before leaving for 6 weeks, and he gets a call from me at 7 a.m. sobbing, saying, I think I broke my foot. And that man, I will never say it to his face, he is a hero. He showed up within 15 minutes, took me to the hospital, tagged out with Rachel, like they took care of me. Anyway, so yeah, I just fell off roof, etc. 10 to 12 foot fall could have been a lot worse. I'm by the time that you listener are hearing this, it will be a week later. But as of today on 420, tomorrow I'm going to the hospital to get surgery.
It's so beautiful. Just you're gonna be so weed hungover. It'll be perfect.
Yeah. No, it'll be great. I will be in the hospital for a couple of nights, but by the time that people hear this, I will be in full where the real shit begins, because surgery has had to be delayed for several weeks for gruesome reasons I will not disclose.
Until we smoke. And then maybe they'll
of which you are well aware. So now I'm at a point where, like, as long as I don't fall on my crutches, which I've done a lot, or move it, it does not hurt too bad. We're just going to be going back to further than zero, because my foot is about to be like RoboCop foot. With all the metal shoved in it.
You're getting the cyborg looks.
Yeah. Oh my God. This is
cyberpunk.
Just like Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh my God. It's just like Cyberpunk. We love that game. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the option for me was either dip out on my recording responsibility, which was always the plan, that I would do a couple of me plus friend episodes while Brian's gone. And so this was planned anyway, but I figure it's 4:20. I am in a stupid reclined position by my desk so I can prop up my foot. And I think it's just going to be you, me, weed, and probably a bunch of stuff that we're going to have to cut out of the episode. So I think that's the recipe for good podcasting.
Yep, I 100% agree. I also just realized the photo I was trying to send you never sent once again, so I've sent it.
Wow.
And now you can finally look upon what I am schmorking.
Oh,
what
I'm your excuse me?
What I'm schmorking, what schmorking? I'm gonna hit, you know, so to speak.
Yeah. Uh-huh. As
the kids say these days.
I have an unlabeled vape pen. So.
Unlabeled. Whoa, that sounds really dangerous.
So, well, no, I mean, it was labeled when I bought it. It's worn off from. So I have, as you've seen, I have a little bag on my crutches.
Yeah, I love that bag.
You know, the thing that you realize once you break your ankle and foot is that, like, you can't carry things around. You become largely physically useless, and I have to wear loose pants or leggings because of the giant splint on my leg. And so I don't have pockets, and so I just shove everything into that little bag. Anyway, all of that built up to say I have a dedicated pocket in my crutch bag that's just full of weed pens. So that's been nice. Anyway, shall we take our inaugural? I say that like I haven't been stoned all day, but
really, I've been like I didn't hit any. Well, I had a lot of shit to do earlier, so I was just running around. For one,
you
I had
were
to go
a functional adult.
Yes, I had to go get marijuana, for example. That was an important thing to do, and it was a madhouse in there. I didn't tell Eugene that I was going, so I walked in and I called him from inside this dispensary, which was just like they had a DJ type situation. he picks up the phone and he's like, "Are you at the club?" It's like 2 p.m. It was insane. But yeah, let me light this baddie up.
I
oh Jesus, I dropped. Okay, it's fine. It's fine.
Okay,
nothing landed in. I wouldn't smoke anyways.
I took a toot on my douche flute, playing the song of my people, which is, comprises solely of annoying takes about movies.
Oh. Are we gonna make some annoying takes about movies today?
I was thinking, so we don't really have a plan here. I mean,
in the form of previous
episodes we've done, that's like you and me just hanging out. I just wanted to dedicate a full one because I think the last time we did it, it was in defense of Cyberpunk 2077, and the just you and me portion went on Patreon.
Oh yeah, that's right. It was for subscribers that pay only.
Yes, which you can do at patreon.com/late-and-night.
There you go, baby. Call to action.
Weekly minisodes, video episodes.
They're all bangers, too. 100%.
Oh, my God. Thank you. no video episode for this one because I am literally not visible within my webcam's line of sight at the moment. And also, I have 7 broken bones. I'm not putting on makeup. I don't want to look presentable. I have to shower on a stool. With a plastic bag around my leg. It's awesome.
Oh, God. I forgot that the problem with weed and recording things is you're going to be the person blowing people's eardrums out when you cough because you're not even scarred your lungs properly when you're like me.
Look, this is not my proudest, most shining moment, but it is a shining, beautiful moment of friendship with you, Allie, because
yes,
having
lady.
Calls and recordings with you are the best.
They listen. I every time you have ever invited me onto this, I'm like, wow, this is probably going to be the highlight of my month.
I'm so glad.
I love talking. I think everybody loves talking. I think everyone wishes that they had a platform to talk on where, like, people are forced to listen. And it's one thing to have your own podcast, but to be invited
it's
to
like
another one.
Being an aunt or uncle of a child where you don't have to deal with the kid all
exactly.
the time, but you get to show up and, like, bring a cool present and they love you and you don't have to do any of the work.
Yeah. Like,
except
what are our hits? We have so many hits together. We have Keanu toe sucking. We got breast milk. But
oh, you're so right. Breakfast milk.
See, I don't think we got that far when we did it, but now we've named it. It has become a name.
Breakfast.
Breastfist.
I smoked weed.
Me too, buddy.
I can see the numbers dropping off. No, I just think that you and I, when we discuss things, you have a level, we have a level of understanding that I just think other people don't have. And unfortunately, because this is going out publicly, I think we're probably both operating on like 60%.
Yes.
What? Yeah. The like
we normally would be like we're not
ultimate
making
level of this is unfit for human consumption.
Yeah,
not unlike the elephant's foot at Chernobyl.
Yeah,
like you don't want to get anywhere near it, but I love it here.
Yeah, this is the demon core. Okay,
this episode is the demon core.
This is literally we are here to vibe, and I wish I could be a good host, but we're imbibing chemicals that prevent
we're imbibing chemicals. I have a bunch of broken bones, and I get to spend the next few days in the hospital having those bones drilled with metal. So I think we're allowed a little,
yeah.
A little of this is a treat.
It's like we're on the battlefield and you're in my arms and I'm about to say, and maybe I'm the one. No, wait, how does this work? You're wounded and I'm about to leave for war, but you're the one going to surgery, whatever.
But
we're sending you somewhere. Yeah. You're the wounded one, but we're sending you back. And I'm going to stay on the front lines.
Oh,
and we're having one last cigarette together. And we're looking across the carnage. And we're both thinking, wow. Just
you know,
wow.
I was going to pull out one of our regular takes because we have so many of them. And they all stalled in my brain. So I think if we wanted to submit this to DARE officially.
Is a reason not to because you make bad podcast episodes.
Yeah.
Hey, Dare, yeah, I got
you know,
one
that
you
would work on
love.
Kids.
Yes,
that
it would
work on kids these days of your podcast is going to be bad because I know you want to make one. I saw you buy the Focusrite, you 12-year-old.
Hey, kids, listen, I know you want to start a podcast. Everybody's doing it. But me, Dare Dog, I don't know what the dog's name is. Is it a dog?
McGruff me? The crime dog?
Is that his name? What is it?
McGruff the crime
McGruff?
Dog.
Okay, McGruff.
That's separate from DARE. They're different entities. It's
okay,
like the FBI and the CIA.
My gay lover, McGruff, the dog, he knows you like you kids like podcasts. And he knows you have, for some reason, purchased all of the equipment required at least once. You have bought the mic setup, the pod mic. Yeah, we know
you
bought
people are
going
to be offering you SM87s, fuck, what's the name of it? Left the, and
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like at other places where the cool kids go, where people
yes.
are there handing out wine coolers to impressionable youths,
mm-hmm.
you're not one of the cool kids, so you've been handed a Scarlett Focusrite USB.
You know
so
what
download,
an XLR cable
download
is.
Ableton. It's the exact same as shooting heroin. Kids,
don't
do drugs.
Wait, I thought.
And if your friend asks you to come on their podcast, just say no.
Wait, I thought that we were convincing people that the podcast is fine, but smoking weed is bad because it would make your podcast fail. But instead, podcast drugs. Even funnier. Just
okay but like DARE, but it's for like bad activities you can do online.
Yeah,
but not in like a depressing way, but like in the same way that DARE kind of tried to make it cool, we're making it cool to not have a Finsta.
Finsta. Oh, I was thinking like, listen, we know you want to do a Shein unboxing video so bad, kid. We know you want to order another crop top from Shein. We know. But listen, it's not going to make the other kids like you.
And they hold up a plastic bag, like a plastic freezer bag that has a little flimsy crop top in it.
Uh-huh.
Like, see this? This is what it looked like on the website. This is what it is. Pass it around. Do not open the bag.
Do not open the bag. Do not take the crop top out.
This is the quality of crop top you're going to be getting. You're going to look at a camera and say that this is great, that you're so glad that you bought this, that someone slaved over.
So worth it.
To get this fast fashion. Was it worth it, kids?
You saved so much money. You saved it. You know how else you could save it? By not spending it on Shein. Okay? Listen. You should.
We're both, in my head, we're both dressed like cops in front
yeah.
of an assembled group of 11-year-olds, maybe.
Listen. You could be spending that money on drugs, okay? You shouldn't be doing this TikTok bullshit.
Oh, you want 10,000 followers on Twitter? You think you're going to post your art and you're going to do the perfect thing that, like, you're going to get a ton of followers and they're all going to be really nice to you? Well,
and
guess
then your
what?
Problems will be solved. Don't forget that.
Yes, and you'll never feel bad about your art again. It's so easy to think that, you know, you hit X number and then you will suddenly be good in your own eyes. Kids, oh God, it's not going to happen.
Someone please cut my fucking coughing out. I feel like truly like I feel like a
That's
child
Brian's
smoking.
Job now, baby.
Hey, Brian, I know you're on tour, but I have like baby lungs and I need you to understand no matter how much weed I smoke. It was the COVID. I blame the COVID, but I totally was like that before COVID.
So due to the amount of conversation this particular cough caused, I kept that one in, but I will edit the future ones out. Okay, Allie?
Right.
Please cut my coughs out for the viewer, because I remember this one time on Grumps, I was quietly eating at my desk during a recording, and then Darren and Dan started begging me to help them find things in our favorite game that I can't remember the name of, the Anomaly game. I know why I can't remember the name of it. I'm on marijuana. But anyway, so they kept asking me for help, and I was trying to eat, and I had to eat. I had food in my mouth, and I had to eat because it had been like 7 or 8 hours of recording without me eating. And I was talking into the mic with my mouth full, and I just knew in that moment, I was like, oh my God, someone with a misophonia thing, which like, I guess like, I agree. I don't also want to hear people speak and eat, but I also doesn't bother me to that degree.
You're doing your job and you also have to have food in your mouth. Sorry
I was
about
like,
it. It's some disappointment in the past.
This is permanent. Somebody is going to be so mad at me. And they were. Because of course they were. Like, what? I agree. I think it's annoying sometimes. Like, it doesn't bother me like to a crazy degree. But anyways, remove my coughs. Remove my coughs. I wish we could have edited out me going, the painting. But we didn't. And we couldn't. So.
I think you've now made it impossible for us to cut the coughs out. Otherwise, that doesn't have context. So.
Oh, man. Sucks to hear me cough, I guess,
this,
for other people.
So like this if you and I were actually together, this is where the VHS tape would stop and like a little musical cue would play and it would zoom out and be like, now what did Leighton and Allie do wrong?
God, that's so Fallout. That's so Vault-Tec of you to suggest.
Are we going there? Are we doing it? Allie.
Yes.
I wanted to watch the Fallout show to prepare for this, but only this. And
yeah,
I didn't do it.
No. That wouldn't have been a fun time.
Do you want to talk about Fallout 4?
Sure.
I just want to completely ignore the TV show.
Yes.
Which, for anybody dying to hear my take on what I know thus far, being a big New Vegas head, I don't care. Canon is fake. Hey, everybody. Canon's fake. Canon doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. So it's fine.
Canon.
I know what you read on the blackboard, but it's okay. It's okay.
Canon dies every day on a blackboard in a TV show. It's or in, you know, every new
in
issue of
brain.
Anything Marvel or DC, Canon is killed repeatedly. So it's just have fun
with it. It's a fake thing. It's not real.
That being said, those people that say that headcanon certain things about Fallout 4 that I'm trying to God damn it, who's driving like this? Do you hear this on the mic? Stupid. Like, get out of my neighborhood right now. I am trying to smoke marijuana.
You're a self-respecting homeowner trying to smoke weed in the privacy of your own property.
Exactly. And there it goes again. It's like they fucking hear me.
Look at these disgusting law-abiding citizens driving down the street.
If they're not wearing helmets, I don't think they're
law-abiding. Don't they know what time of the season it is?
Yeah, it is a sacred
the
day.
The exact same people who are trying to take Christ out of Christmas.
Ooh, you know what? I took Christ out of Christmas, and you know where he went?
Where?
Straight under that rock, and then he woke up and came out of it 3 days later for some reason. I don't understand Christianity, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, why are we so worried about taking the Christ out of Christmas? He's gonna come back. Isn't that like kind of the whole thing, is that he came back? Like, chill. You saw it on a Starbucks cup in December and you're mad. Wait a couple of days and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
I straight up have an aunt who's not a literal aunt, who's like a friend of my mother.
Right.
I told her happy holidays 1 year because it rolls off the tongue. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, don't give me that shit. And then she hugged me.
Oh my God, that's so Christian.
It was very epic of her, honestly. She was like, don't give me that shit. And then she also like then gave me like $500 and just left. So honestly, like, ooh, she can say whatever she wants to me. Like, she's fine. But
yeah, forget Santa Claus. I mean, we're taking the Christ out of Christmas, but we can also take the Santa Claus out of Christmas.
Weren't we going to talk about Fallout? How did we get to Christmas? Oh yeah. No. Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 is a game that I don't. How would I characterize my feelings about Fallout 4? Because instinctively, I want to say that I hate it, but that's just like objectively not true.
I just think it's a great idea.
Feels... You know what it is? It's a Polly Pocket playset that is pretty cool. It's got like a lot of really good pieces on it, and I want to mess with the pieces. I don't like the configuration that it's in. And like, things about this bother me, but am I going to spend every single afternoon sitting here shoving these Polly Pocket pieces together and having a grand old time in my little make-believe land? Yeah.
Yes.
So in that way, it is a good game.
Yeah, I definitely think that I know this is like the hottest, like the like a lava take.
Oh,
because yeah. I never played a Fallout game before Fallout 4, which makes me a criminal. Like, in terms of, like, and for some me to like Fallout 4 in addition to have only played that game.
Degenerates like you belong on a cross.
I should be shot like Jesus. I mean, wait, he didn't get shot, but you know what I mean. So my thing is that what is... nobody's gonna like this take. Holy shit. Fallout 4 lacks in being a game. It makes up to me personally by having a really great settlement building.
It's my favorite Animal Crossing game.
It is my favorite Animal Crossing game. I have been saying that forever about Fallout 76, which, yes, I played once again on my streak of being only into bad games. Mm-hmm. I played Fallout 76 when it came out and I loved it. And I like when I played it, all I could think was, where are the bitches that play Animal Crossing? This game is for you. It is for you. You get a little base. You can pay money to get more bases. You
can build
them. You
get more of them. And if you have a PC that can handle mods, you can put 175 things in your load order that just make it a brand new game. And also, like, hey, do you want tits? Here you go. Do you want kitty ear gamer headphones?
Be a MILF. Like, you can indeed be a MILF.
You can be whatever you want. Except for Nick Valentine's girlfriend, apparently.
Oh, okay, so this is where we're going to talk about. This is where I was starting. Like, people who say, like, Nick shouldn't be romanceable. It doesn't make any sense. I don't think anyone's actually saying that. I just...
No, I'm making up a straw man.
Yeah.
So I can say that... Then why is there Curie? And also, this game is old enough. I can say it. Weenie Hut General himself, Paladin Dance.
I love Paladin Dance.
Okay, pitch me on Paladin Dance, because I... hate that guy. Here's my thing.
Miserable.
You're here. You understand this. I got into this. I will allude to this on other episodes, and I know it's going to piss me off about Fallout show, but fucking Brotherhood of Steel.
Fucking Brotherhood of Steel.
Where we've beaten it to death by this point. This is like in most of the games. We've done this. We've been here. We've done this.
Mm-hmm.
They're annoying. They're the worst faction. I'm sorry you gave them the best armor, and now it's so iconic you can't do without it, but like...
I mean, but it's not even theirs. They just took it. Like, they just took it,
exactly.
Right? Like, canonically, unless I'm wrong because I'm remembering that from the Fallout TV show. The Brotherhood sucks, but I do think they are needed. Like, in terms of, like, something that exists in the Commonwealth, the Brotherhood is so cartoonishly natural, like, of a result of a faction. For like an American, like to me, they are Boy Scouts with machine guns, right? And there's something like, I think they're intolerable, but I have never, ever once played a Fallout game, which is now two Fallout games that are bad, where I have not enjoyed every interaction I've had with the Brotherhood. They are always, to me, for some reason, like the most memorable characters because they are so incredibly stupid. Like, it feels honest in a way that is, like, embarrassing for Bethesda, probably.
These are the apocalypse cops. They suck, right?
They are just awful. And
but then the game assumes that you want to hang out with them and help them out.
Well,
and
that's the thing. It's
they're
like,
hey, do you want to go do some light ethnic cleansing in the wasteland? Also, you can have sex with me if you want to, if you're nice to me.
What's so funny, and I'm going to spoil something for you in the Fallout television show.
Dude, I am as spoiled as I could possibly be. And I'm also spoiled right now by weed and your friendship.
Oh, please. I'm about to spoil you now. The Brotherhood in the TV show, and I don't know if this is true in other things, but in the TV show, they are sworn virgins. They are sworn incel. Like, they, like, cannot fuck. I don't know if that's true in any of the other ones.
I'm sorry, they got a little robo-chastity belt under there? Is this canon?
It, like, that's what I'm wondering. Like, this idea of it being a monastic cult, in a way, is kind of, like okay. Great, interesting. I like it better that way than a military group. I think a monastic, like a mon. I don't think monastic is the right word. I'm thinking of, like, monks. Like, a monk
yeah,
cult.
Yeah, you're going
like,
for,
okay.
like, a religious...
Yes.
So that's fascinating because the Brotherhood of Steel in the Fallout games is based mm-hmm. off of this book that was written in the 50s called Canticle for Leibowitz,
okay.
which is where a lot of the ideas from Fallout come from, which mm-hmm. is three short stories in the same world. And it's about, you know, far in the future, post nukes, a monk discovers a Fallout shelter, but they're so far away from the concept of Fallout that they mm-hmm. think Fallouts are demons. That they're the demons that ended the world. So he finds this Fallout shelter.
Oh my God.
And it says Fallout Shelter Occupancy 15. And so he thinks that there's 15 Fallout demons in there.
Oh my God.
Anyway, the stories are based about, like, this monk finds new sacred texts from this guy Leibowitz, who is an engineer. And, like, he was just a pre-war engineer, and, like, his blueprints and shit that were laying around mm-hmm. became the holy texts for hundreds of years of this, you know, monastic order. And that's
wow.
The stories are all going off of that, and that's what Brotherhood of Steel is based on, because they also, part of their religion is, like, hoarding the technical documents.
Yes, that's
so that's fascinating that the show is, like, actually going back and touching that more. That
yes,
is, like, kind
that,
of fresh and cool.
It is really good, because I've never gotten any of that sense from the game other than the two games I played. Like, mm-hmm. that was not in Fallout 4, I don't feel like, unless, you know, textually I wasn't paying attention because I was too busy laughing and calling their blimp a boat and stupid shit.
Yeah.
But
oh,
in the show, yes, I think the Brotherhood in the show is great. They do a lot, but specifically because I especially love the decision to make them all sworn virgins or whatever, mm-hmm. because, and I don't actually know if it's true. It's something we hear from a character in a weird situation. It's something we hear from a weird character in a weird situation. That's like almost more of a punchline than anything else. So it's like, who okay. even knows anymore? Because that show is so irreverent that, like, the truth is, like, is irreverent the right word? I don't even know. But it's like, it's surprising it didn't get into more trouble to me with people about the lore, because it's just kind of like, I guess this happens now lot. But that I love because it's also, specifically that I'm talking about virginity again. It's because it's what made Anakin Skywalker the way he is.
Let's go.
Because that child in Star Wars was like, I want to be a rock star. And they were like, the only way you can get out of slavery is if you become a sworn virgin in a boring ass decrepit order of dudes that are just so boring and dry and they're so lame. And you born theater kid? No. With your cute little, like, your little cute little braid, your single braid, your early 2000s look? No. No. And then he becomes evil. So he gets a wife and he goes insane. This is what I love. And this is why I told you I love
I just
Maximus.
Need to have a moment of silence for that. Because that's the most incredible summary of, I wish that we could put the licensed Star Wars theme behind that, because I think it would.
Is it not? George Lucas is genuinely a genius for that, because everyone was like, you know, because the way that worked, I'm sure culturally it was like, who is this Darth Vader guy? What's his backstory? And then you see Anakin, and he is just like that guy. He's the, like, never sleeps, probably on drugs, looks
writing
at
poetry.
You and goes, yeah, writing poetry, where's my hug kind of guy. Like, he was that guy. But that's the, that's also why I love Maximus. I think that's his name. I can't remember anyone's names in the Fallout show. I forgot the main character was called Lucy for so long because I was just calling her whatever her actress's name is, which I can't remember now because
Ella Purnell.
Ella Purnell. I was calling her Ella Purnell, and Walton Goolgins is what I'm calling him. But he's also like that vibe, that Anakin vibe, soaking wet, just sopping wet. Really, really, really scary at times. Like very much, you know, like he's going to get worse. And so when he is constantly confronted throughout the series thematically with this idea of the Brotherhood and this idea of what they stand for, and while they do that, they sort of are like, yeah, this is a monastic cult. Basically, they're like, these are the things we must do this with, this like fervor, this very like religious fervor. It also, in that same hand, in the same moment, is like basically telling him to be evil, like straight up, like in the way when, and being evil is like one thing, but like in the way where it's like, you need to do literally anything, like we all suck and are abusing power, like everything I'm demonstrating to you is me being higher on the rung of this ladder than you and being able to exert whatever force I feel and treat you however I feel you deserve, while also pretending I maintain these like grandiose, like ordeal, or this moral, like this, like this, like upholding the order, basically
the ideals of
the ideals, not ordeals, Jesus, but and so he, like, you see him like digest that, and it's really interesting how they have this guy like torn between. You know, there's the factions in Fallout, and then there's the idea of like having to pick a faction, which as a player is the most annoying bullshit. And he struggles with like that. I think all the character, the nice thing about Fallout is all the characters, the main characters, feel like they are like being drawn to being lone wanderer types.
Okay,
like they could all become
plus 50 carrier weight.
Dude, they could all be. They could all be like the main character of a Fallout game, but they're not like
cute
Wastelanders yet. You know, they need that.
That's such a great way to put it. That's a really good pitch.
It's so great. Like, so even the Brotherhood, like there's the pull of like the cowboy versus the fucking establishment, for every character. And that's why the Brotherhood is not presented. I don't think the Brotherhood, I truly don't think the Brotherhood in any Fallout game is presented as good, quote unquote.
Yeah.
They're just like,
to be clear, like, you have no good options, especially in Fallout 4. Like that.
Yeah.
Because at least in New Vegas, when you're picking factions, you do get kind of like a fun factor where it's a slog to do anything for literally everybody in Fallout 4. And it's like, I don't even like any of you. This isn't even like Skyrim
Railroad,
where you have
boo.
your pet Dark Brotherhood and also to a lesser extent Thieves Guild, where it's like, all right, this quest line is my shit. You know it's bad when I'm comparing it to Skyrim.
To Skyrim, yeah,
a
yeah,
game
yeah.
That famously has story question mark. Where is it? I don't care. I'm not doing the main quest. So I you know what, that's what gets me about everybody going off about the show not being canon, which I really cannot bring myself to care about, because everybody agrees that we ignore the main quest in all Bethesda games anyway. So
it's like a prerequisite to enjoying an experience.
Yeah, it's like you get the quest to go to the Glowing Sea and then you're like, all right, guess I'm not finding my son.
Yeah, what's son? It's that KB content comic. Son? What's son? Great Gatsby style.
Yeah.
Classic.
And then you can just focus your time on playing Animal Crossing with guns.
With gun.
And finding a boyfriend or girlfriend, of which there are many.
Yeah, and then some you can mod into being your boyfriend or girlfriend, such as Nick Valentine. Is there a Deacon romance?
Is there a Deacon romance mod? It is not in the game, which is also fucked up.
It's fucked up.
The most forbidden fruit, and you and I, this is well-tread ground for us, of the video game character you cannot romance.
Yep. And the, having the a ultimate. Great, having just like a great guy, and he's just there. And they were like, no. Don't
romance
like,
no. You can have sex with everybody except for Varric Tethrys.
Exactly.
You can fuck everybody except Johnny Silverhand, who isn't real and is in your head. But that makes it even more romantic.
Maybe not equally applicable, but honestly, Five Nights at Freddy's? Why can't I fuck Springtrap? Like, he's there. What else are we doing in this game? I'm looking at an iPad screen repeatedly and turning buttons on and off. I can't, you know, just like walk over there and make out with the rotting corpse in a rabbit suit. I don't.
I think the thing that people don't get, like, with the anytime there's like a non-human Blurbo.
Oh yeah.
Part of it is like the rituals are intricate. Mm-hmm. How many intricate rituals must be surpassed to bone this video game character? And if the answer is they literally do not exist, even in the world that doesn't exist that they're in.
That is like the more difficult, because conflict. Romance often suffers because there isn't enough conflict that makes sense.
It's arbitrary.
But when you have conflict being quite literally a blockade, like a physical block from you this like object of desire, this individual of desire, it creates stakes, which are just the like basis for a great time.
This is you and me on Joe Rogan. I am Joe Rogan nodding while you like talk about ancient aliens inventing cell phones.
Oh my god. And by the way, you guys, Joe has this crazy serum for sale. Doesn't he sell like serums, like tinctures and shit for masculine? Is that
okay,
a Joe Rogan
thing? You know
thing?
What would be a really crazy, they sell supplements and
okay,
stuff
supplements.
And dick pills.
Okay, got it.
What
do they
if,
work?
I'm legally cannot say.
Okay.
What if like that realm started recruiting like TikTok girlies by getting sponsored by like CeraVe and Laneige? Like instead of Sydney Sweeney for Laneige, it's like Joe Rogan talking about the overnight lip sleeping mask.
They should. I think that it would be really great for masculinity if we started putting just absolutely the worst people possible on the cover of beauty magazine.
Men see the scene in American Psycho where Patrick Bateman does his skincare routine. And I think that's a really important, I honestly think media should have more of those.
I agree.
In the same way that like, I can't believe through my life I've had to sell many different men on like, no, bubble baths are great. What do you mean you don't take bubble baths? You get in a bath and you lay there and it's nice. What are you talking about? You don't do that.
You
use a 3-in-1 body wash.
They use a 3-in-1 head, shoulders, knees, and toes and taint. One bottle. I wish I understood it. But I, you know, I'm also like, at the same time, like, I understand efficiency. I do.
Yeah.
I just don't think that you landed on that because you're smart. I think you landed on it because you're afraid of touching your butt crack. Sorry.
Yeah. And then they're like, why am I breaking out all the time? And it's like, because you're using your conditioner as face cleanser.
Yeah. That's an incredible decision.
What's going on with your skin? Your protective like oil barriers, bro. Don't you enjoy putting little goops and creams upon your facial skin, bro?
Goops and creams are like, this is the thing. We all have a fascination with goops and creams. We've all seen slime videos. I'm telling you, you can have that in your life if you just get into a really, really stupidly long, like 20-step skincare routine. You can have that.
Yeah, and you're going to scoff at me. You're going to scoff at me, but if you have not had a face mask, a little sheet mask, or an eye mask, or a lip mask, or any of those things where it's cool and you're in a robe and your skin is hot from getting out of a hot bath and you put that thing on there and you take it off and you feel pretty. And I think it would be good for men's self-esteem universally of having being able to feel comfortable and pretty.
I think that
would solve some things were able to admit that and embrace that.
That's such a beautiful and like important way of framing it. I'm gonna go a different route. Are you even a man if you haven't had a little pedicure at least once? Come on, men. Like, if you really want to be a man, you need to first of all take like 20 of whatever Joe Rogan's selling you. Take like 50 of those. Then pull your socks off. Get your toesies in a hot body of water, and then just put that face mask on. And I guarantee you, you will come out of that bath with a way higher sperm cell count than you would going in. And there you are.
Yeah.
That's my pitch.
It's, how did we get here?
Well, we started
talking
Fallout.
About Fallout. Oh, yeah. We went on a long thing about how the best video game boyfriends are the unattainable ones.
Unobtainable ones.
Which is why I will defend to my dying day that Joseph Christensen doesn't have a good ending.
Yes.
That's, you know.
It makes sense.
It's intentional. Thank you. Anyway, Nick Valentine. You can romance Curie, who's literally Mrs. Handy. Fuck, what's the name for if they're not Mr. Handy's? Whatever. She was literally underground in a lab after being traumatized by, like, watching all of these scientists that were going to poison the vault. You know, she's been stuck down there. She's basically a child. She's not even a person. And then you free her, and then you can eventually get her a Gen 3 synth body. And, like, but you can, like, romance her.
Yeah,
but
I've
you
never
can't
done that.
You can't romance Nick Valentine with the brain of a real man who's also been alive for 200 years, and it's sexy because also you've been alive for 200 years technically, and nobody else remembers the before times except for you two. And like, and I ignore the fact that he his voice actor is all over Skyrim, so like Bellathor is like, some people call this trash. Me, I call them treasures. And it's like, nope, I'm not horny for this in a different context just because he has a little fedora on.
Hey, listen, that's because voice actors are good at their job. They're good at it.
That's so true.
And Nick Valentine, let me just say, I shouldn't say what I was going to say. I was going to say something about sitting on that Rolo hand, but it's fine. It's fine. Dude, Nick Valentine, that's the thing. Also, it's like, I was wondering as you were saying this, do you think the reason that they included that just like moment where he possesses Kellogg after you're at the memory
All right.
You think they just included that to give you a reason to not be able to romance him? Because I cannot
to give
find-
you a boner?
That's the thing. It's like, well, why would you, like, his name is Valentine. Okay. Like, listen, the only other person I can think of named Valentine is like what? Always sexy, like it's always a hot woman, or it's him, and he's also hot and a robot. So, and he's got a cute little logo. He's got his little neon sign.
Yeah,
like
knows how,
he's
he
gonna solve mysteries with you. I've seen True Detective. Solving mysteries with another man is basically Yowie. So
yeah, that is what sex. Are we? That is intercourse. Is solving mysteries with another man. I he's so cute. He's like the nicest. You know, in video games, it's nice when a character is just, like, a good person. Like, I love my pieces of shit. To be clear.
Yes.
My other Fallout blurbos are war criminal. burned. Kentucky fried. War criminal. Look, it's about the unattainability, everybody. Anyway,
he's a nice guy.
Nick is sweet. When you're running around, you're adventuring, you're stealing shit, and then people just, like, go up to Nick and are like, oh my god, thank you for saving my father. And he's like, oh, no problem. Like,
yeah, it's
dude.
It's, oh, he yeah, he
whatever,
has
whatever. How do we get you junk? How do we craft, like, I can make
it's
a gun
so
with
easy.
My bare hands in
yeah.
this game. I can build a skyscraper with my bare hands.
Yeah.
We can get something working for you, buddy.
Yeah. There's literally no reason not to.
It's the future.
I do love a sweet man. I love a sweet man. I do think that my experience in my memory, because it's been, so to be clear, it has been at least like 6 years since I played Fallout 4 probably. Like, I played Fallout 4 like way before Cyberpunk, and I've obviously mostly been in Cyberpunk for the last 4 years. So my memory of Fallout 4 and my experience with him was that he didn't like me very much. like
oh my god,
Nick does not like my character, and it's better that way, in the way that the rivalmances
of Dragon Age Hawk with Fenris dynamic.
I just, there's just like that line, and I couldn't
two
find
people
the
are gonna like this episode.
Oh, I know,
and
they're gonna love it. They're gonna, we can post this on, this one goes for to the Fallout girlies or whatever, the fellow ghoul fuckers, and synth fuckers. Welcome. But that's like,
see, and that's another reason I hate the Brotherhood, because it's like, all of my friends are here and you're just being horribly racist to them, and also both of them are roasting you so hard in return.
Wait,
that like,
do you know, okay, can I spoil you for Paladin Dance?
Oh, I know all about.
Okay, you know that he's a synth, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, it's the greatest. It's so great. It's like, well, that's, I you were like, you wanted me to sell you on Paladin Dance. It kind of comes down to that. But the lead up to it is like that he is so, like, Okay, exactly what they did great with the Fallout show is what I wish we got from Paladin Dance. But having a guy wound up that so fucking tight in his stupid hot sweaty suit. Like, this is all things that you can get for free. Not free. You can get with Amazon Prime on Amazon.com right now. In the Fallout show, you can get the experience of a Brotherhood guy who's, like, wound so fucking tight that, like, you're ready for him to commit unspeakable acts of violence. Mm-hmm. In bed rather than on the plan. Like, and it's not even okay. Oh, he's gonna like lose it and top you. It's like he is so fucking pathetic that like okay. the whole thing, it's kind of the Wesker thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's really not yeah. quite there, but he specifically is so sopping wet and absolutely pathetic by the end of Fallout 4 and like having to address his identity that mm-hmm. there is a sort of like, it's not a good thing, but there is this sort of like vibe of like, oh cool, a man that has been taken apart down to like stripped entirely of like his sense of self mm-hmm. Who now only has you.
Because you had me at wet and pathetic.
It's so, because he's really not. He's so annoying the whole game. And mm-hmm. by default, he is so annoying and just like, just
he's mean to my harem of non-human boyfriends.
Oh, they all hate each other. That's also part of it. You always got to have also one that hot. Hates everybody. Like, that's just so mm-hmm. hot. And mm-hmm. it's just like, just absolutely intolerable. Like, I just personally find like a character like that, interesting only in the context that they gave you at the end of the game of him being a synth, because if he had not yeah. turned out to be that way, he would suck. But like him being like that the whole game, and then you figure it out, and then he's like, oh, I guess I have to learn to be another guy. Oh, what do I do, soul survivor? Oh, I'm in love with you. It's like, yes, let me remake you into the perfect dependent upon me man. I'm gonna be your brotherhood now, but like, that's it, right? But that requires this entirely, like, everything I just described to you requires so much like mental gymnastics.
Yes,
but the nice thing about a Bethesda game is that the quality difference between that and also Romancing Hancock is like not that far, because talking to, like, it's like, oh honey, I love you, wow, you're the only one who's truly understood me, kiss selection, no animation, nothing, kiss no selection animation. And conversation. It's like that for every character. The reason Hancock is great is because he has that intro where he stabs a guy to impress
yeah
him. So and that's it. There's like a handful of like five moments that make characters mm-hmm. in Bethesda games like really worth thinking yeah. and extrapolating on to the degree I just generously gave Paladin Dance, because he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah,
but that's like,
no, you've described a dynamic that intrigues and interests me.
But that's the thing is, I can't recommend it.
Wet
I,
and pathetic. No, I, and I mean, know
I can't
that,
really
but
recommend I recommend it because the game experience isn't going to be great. Like, you know what I mean?
Because
like
it feels bad to get yeah. to that point, to like get to, you know, mm-hmm. on doing your little companion quest. It means I have to hang out with you.
Exactly.
I have to get things
listen
for Scribe Halen. I have to go kill ghouls for you, and you guys are like all weirdly getting off on it, mm-hmm. and you're not paying me enough money. Mm-hmm. And also, I have houses to build for people, you know, instead of being like, hey, we're gonna take all your weapons, is that cool? No, then we'll shoot you.
Yep.
Yeah, anyway, Kellogg, do we want to Kellogg's yes. whole thing in Fallout 4 is maybe the most inexplicable part of a game that has many inexplicable things about
yes
it.
It is extremely inexplicable.
Why do we spend so much time on him? And you're given so much grief and guilt for having killed him in a game that's where you make choices. I'm not going to say it is about making choices, but in a game where you make choices where you literally have no option but to kill Kellogg.
Yes.
Like half of them expecting that, like, I redid just to get it out of the way. And so I could hear the two Kellogg lines coming out of Nick's mouth
yes.
because missed
so
opportunity.
Sexy.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I was going to say right away, but thank you for mm-hmm. voicing it. It's what were they doing? I've mildly lost my train, but what were they thinking
about making us like get to know this character that ultimately
yeah oh
is
I'm
like
supposed to feel bad because the game forced me to kill him because that's the only option you have to deal with him. I'm supposed to feel bad because he went through the same thing that I did and he just did it to me, like, wow, trauma is secular, like fucking big whoop. And then everybody gets mad at me when I kill the guy who shot my spouse in front of me and took my son, and if I say I hope I find you in hell so I can shoot you a second time, and then everyone disliked that.
So
hello, Nick, I love you, honey, but your personal quest is all about getting a vengeance on a guy.
Yep,
who
it's
wronged
killing a guy.
Mm-hmm. A guy who's not even you 200 years ago. So calm the fuck down with the disliking me telling
that,
the man to go to hell.
That stat, the like-dislike stat of Fallout and many games is often one of the most fucking confounding things to me because one, it doesn't elaborate on any of the reasoning that developers chose to take a bar to upvote or downvote a situation that they themselves created. And I like that to me, like that game mechanic is almost worse than like if they just didn't have anyone in like anyone react to anything for that exact reason. Because what I think based upon my 6-year-old memory and having I felt like the Kellogg stuff was very pretty impressionable to me and like still something I remember better than most of that fucking game. But specifically the thing about it that I feel what was trying to be like attempted, which I think they did better in the Fallout show, is this idea of like you're playing a character that like missed the creation of the wasteland. They just were in a vault and then they woke up and walked outside and had to readjust. So Kellogg being like the same as you, being like this parallel, is a bit more like, and also everyone disliking you killing him is a bit more like supposed to, I would assume, this is me being very generous, supposed to be a little bit of a commentary about like the nature of how it fucking is, how it fucking be on the surface. But that also like doesn't make sense either. But also I feel like it's supposed to be like you know, like I could feel like there was intention there, but I don't think it makes sense ultimately. I also think maybe it was supposed to be your way of like hinting that shit, like he being a victim of something else means that there's a bigger evil, which is like what the Institute, which we already like you know what I mean, like he's just a victim of the Institute ultimately as well, even though he like, you know, worked for them and we have all these fucking flashbacks of him and Sean or whatever.
It's just so much time spent on him where finding out more about him, like you are getting the location of the Institute, but making him such an important part of the narrative, like factions aside, all of the companions you meet, like Kellogg is the star of the goddamn show for like half the game.
It's a bizarre thing, and then he just disappears.
Yeah, and they give him all those monologues, like cool monologue while you're going through Fort Hagen, and then of course you get the memory thing where you can click on stuff and he just like Raymond Chandler's it up.
Yeah,
and truly the good version of Kellogg Fallout 4 is Kurt Hansen in Cyberpunk 2077's Phantom Liberty. Tell me that's not the same character.
It's exactly
done better.
The vibe. It's the same thing. He has this like grandiosity like thing, like he has this, he's like he's the guy for his thing, so
he's in love with his own voice.
Yes,
he will not shut up.
And balls. But he's also like
sexy
I mean, he does a supervillain monologue. We love that. It's a Bond villain thing, like, you know, like it's really like, which once again with Valentine, it kind of like it all kind of like I can see a connection here, but in terms of like execution, the way that this stuff is done is like so disparate, and I don't know what I expect because like Fallout and Bethesda writing, I've only played 2 Fallout games. Fallout writing and Bethesda writing are not like known for being anything other than what they literally exactly are, which is like turbo dry, like drier than the wasteland desert, like drier than the NCR. I don't know if that counts. Is that a thing? Is that a real thing? Is it condensed? It's because they're in a desert, whatever. I don't fucking know anything about an NCR.
I
don't know
that.
I don't know anything about New Vegas. I know you about your KFC man because I care about him also. He's it's like husbands in laws. Like your friend's Blorbo is like your Blorbo in law.
Blorbo's in law.
But yes. It's like I could tell that every game that Bethesda's ever made had to be exactly like this when I picked up Fallout 4. Like I could not imagine a world in which there was like some banger other than New Vegas, because that's what I've been told.
That's Obsidian, not Bethesda.
Yeah, which was I was about to say is like not even them. So what the fuck?
Yeah.
I just like they have people there that are really, really talented writers, I bet. I don't know if those people are writing like things in Fallout that then get, I don't know, just like passed around. Like, you know, like it goes through the filter of being at this company and then
of
it comes out dry.
Having to be in a big AAA video.
Yes, game. Exactly. Just having just to be it in a society. But, and then you have these glimpses, like the Kellogg thing when you connect him to Valentine and he's like, yeah. I'm the supervillain. I will come back and I'm living in your boyfriend now. things like.
Again, this is making a huge jump imagining that, like us, the relationship with Nick Valentine is a torrid love affair, and there's literally nothing you can do to convince me otherwise. There's
yes.
an entire DLC
yes.
where you go
on a beach vacation
yes. with your boyfriend Nick Valentine, and also the DLC is like kind of about him also.
Yes.
So we're in love, we're gonna get married, mm-hmm. and Soul Survivor is gonna live forever. But yeah, Kurt Hansen in Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. More fuckable than Kellogg. I know that it's been, you know, games have progressed over the past mm-hmm. 8 years since Fallout 4, so we really can make some very beautiful people in video games. But I just overall, I think, you know, if we're doing smash or pass, it's smash on Kurt Hansen and probably
Hansen.
Pass on Kellogg.
Yeah.
That's what gets me about like guilting you for killing him, though, even though you're forced into killing him, because suddenly if you had a branch where you could let Kellogg live, he would have to immediately tell you how to get into the Institute. So
yes.
then you don't have to go to the Glowing Sea to find Virgil.
Yes.
Virgil doesn't tell you about the teleporter shit. Like,
God.
Also, that Glowing Sea quest is bullshit. It's just.
I don't care about the
why would you do
Adam.
This to me? Oh my God, me in Far Harbor, like, oh, you fucks are here too. I don't want you also here. You guys are everywhere in these games. I've seen it. I get it. I know. We all played Fallout 3. Come on.
There are a lot of cults in this post-apocalyptic wasteland.
There really are.
And I just really think that, like, maybe they should like do some research on what cults are at Bethesda, because right now these like are like cartoon like Looney Tunes mm-hmm. cults. Okay, like these people
where
are
is
like
the Wastelands MLM.
That's the thing is the the Brotherhood of Steel is the perfect cult. You don't need to make the cartoonish ones other than the Cult of the Mothman, which I do agree with fundamentally, because
yeah.
Fallout 76, the cults in Fallout 76 are great, because I mean it's the Mothman cult.
Official stance of the Late Night Without Brian Weck podcast. Cults are good.
Cults are good. That's the thing. That's the thing. Brotherhood already occupies that. So why do I have to deal with these fucks? I know that they're. I guess they're from Fallout 3. Now I know that because you just said it. But I just like.
I mean, they're in the other. This is the thing. We're both having very strong opinions on Fallout, and I know the comment section on this is going to be brutal from people who've been playing Fallout longer than I've been alive. So, sorry, I'm stupid. My bones are broken. I'm on drugs, and I want to smash Nick Valentine.
I'm gonna just say it. I have no respect for the classics. I don't. The world, there are too many video games. I also like, do you know how hard it is to get a game before Fallout 4 to run on any fucking machine? Like it's like it requires work.
Spit and lube and
I don't give a shit about that Mona Lisa bitch. Like I Leonardo DiCaprio can come or DiCaprio Da Vinci can come rip my art degree to shreds in front of me if he's but like I just like the we have to like kind of take these things for what they are, and like I can't just go back and play a whole nother game when my enjoyment of these Fallout games is so entirely based upon an axis by which you probably commenter that is about to get mad. You do not measure video games in the same way.
It's something that doesn't matter to you.
It truly does not matter to me. I'm sorry. Nothing.
Enjoying media is a four-dimensional space, probably more than that. You have the axes of like objectively good to objectively bad, subjectively good to subjectively bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another one that people usually don't take into account, except for people who have large brains and are really sexy and cool,
mm-hmm,
which is
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
the horniness factor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is overlaid. This goes in many different directions. I'm sure Brian would have something to say about the physics model that we've created here. But the Fallout show, as a thing that I have not watched yet,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't really like. actually care about what happens in it because it's a TV show adaptation of a video game and a video game that I feel strongly about. So like whatever it is just the thing that it is. No, mm-hmm. what I really care about, what I am invested
mm-hmm.
in
mm-hmm.
is the invisible axis of horny.
Exactly. Exactly. That is the only thing that matters. That is like,
yes.
So when we say, oh, this is pretty good. If we say like, you know, I will say Phantom Liberty, one of the most incredible gaming experiences I've ever had. Mm-hmm, and now that I have a new mm-hmm. computer, I'm going to replay it. And Kurt Hansen is very sexy in it. Mm-hmm. Like, objectively.
And also Johnny Silverhand. You're getting surgery and you're, like, drugged and you're lying down.
Yes.
And he's, like, leaning over you, making faces at you, doing a talk about your feelings.
He's
and you're
so
telling
beautiful.
Me that that's not the one true romance option amongst all the other wooden romance options.
Gazes into your eye. There's, like,
soulfully.
So much love in his eye. That the entire experience of that game is, like, both actively choosing to uplift the axis of horny
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
a good experience. But a good experience
yes.
is not a requirement for my enjoyment, and neither is your favorite thing about a franchise series that made it the best, made quote-unquote Dragon Age Origins the best games. Like, I'm sure it was. I don't care. I don't think that any of the romance options in those games are going to be enough to compel me to let go of the literal pile of blorbos that I am gripping onto for dear life every single day.
Yeah.
Johnny
Silver,
I just need
like,
it. I
okay.
just need bad things because they have one good thing in them. And it's
yes.
horny.
It's like I'm going to create like other after you go Cyberpunk 2077, The Way, the Truth, the Light, V
mm-hmm,
and Johnny
mm-hmm.
Silverhand, OTP, mm-hmm. you can never go back to any other video game romance. And I say this as a deeply
yes.
codependent person, as a lifelong battling against it codependent. Johnny Silverhand and V is like the ultimate.
Mm-hmm.
Your mental, like you, what if you could fuck your mental illness?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
What about that? What if you were so completely enmeshed that you're the same person?
Yes.
How could I go back to even Alistair and a Warden
right?
after that? Pray
right.
tell, a Mage Hawk and a Fenris.
Yeah. And that's why Fallout is only good because it doesn't have that. It doesn't have it. It has a little bit of it, has glimpses of it. But the only reason Fallout 4 is good is because I can also build a house. I can also build a stupid
I can
base.
Come up with a fake boyfriend out of the one character you
yes.
don't let me date, and I can build a million houses to fuck him in.
Exactly. And I can sit there and extrapolate interesting details
while I listen to my stupid little music.
Yes, while I'm listening to the Ink Spots for the 10,000th time. Like, 100,000. Like, I know every song now from, like, whatever era that was in an actual America, not fake America. Like,
right.
I will say, on that subject, I fucking love the Appalachia radio from Fallout 76, specifically because it has Tennessee Williams Ford, or whatever his name is, what's his fucking name? These people all have so long names. Anyways, Appalachia music. Music about being down in the mines. Me when I dig. Music about unionizing. Music about I mean, the like, there's so much, like, it's really depressing because the Fallout show takes place in California, which is, like, objectively, or not at California. It takes place in Los Angeles, which is a different place than California, if you really think about it.
Yeah,
because it's,
so
like,
true.
Objectively the least fucking interesting place you could put a Fallout game. There is,
oh my god, you're so right.
There is the amount of Americana required to make a Fallout location interesting, like the amount of, like, storied
yeah.
lore that you need. It's almost certainly going to have to be anywhere but Los Angeles, the most plastic place on this planet.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they can grab onto in terms of that is Hollywood, right? So that's
mm-hmm.
what is chosen to be represented through Walton Goolgan's character. And that's
right.
it, because there's nothing else here. There's no Appalachian ghost stories here. There's no, like, old world gods that could possibly, like, be living in the bowels of the earth, which is one of my favorite things. And do you watch Fallout 4 lore videos? Do you know about the thing living inside the mines? Or not the mines, I guess it's the mines. But the thing living at the bottom of the quarry and all the, like, weird... They have a lot of Lovecraftian shit in Fallout 4.
Oh, yeah. It's the it's I forget what the name of the actual quest is, but the Dunwich Horror.
Yes, Dunwich Horror. Lovecraft Horror. Yes, there's a lot of that. You don't get that in Los Angeles. There's just nothing. There's That's nothing true. Lovecraftian or gothic about Hollywood. It sucks. I can say that because I live here. It's close. Like, it's not interesting. And everybody that you go to any other state is like, oh, you're from California. They are correct because they live somewhere fallout could happen and be interesting.
Fallout happening here, even though we'd be one of the prime, like, we're getting knocked down first, which I thank you for, because I'm not, as much as I love Fallout and
it's one of my greatest
all
fears.
Other post-apocalyptic, it's I like it because it's 200 years after all of the people who would be like me would have been like, all right, see ya. I'm not doing this Walking Dead shit, see ya.
Yeah instantly vaporized. 100% infrastructure goes first, and baby, we're it.
If I can't live without my little creature comforts and my AC, can you picture me with a shotgun gunning down a giant scorpion? It's not happening.
No. That's why we play video games, is because we can't do it. But so I don't remember what the fuck. Fallout, not good. Cyberpunk, great. Horny, Cyberpunk, only thing that amazing. Matters.
It really does only matter if something's horny. And there's also, like, within that, the variations of horny made by somebody with good taste and horny made by somebody with bad taste. Mm-hmm. And your definition of taste can change, but it's the difference between looking at, okay, I'm going to cast a wide net here, everybody, and I'm sorry. It's the difference between looking at people who make mods for Cyberpunk 2077 versus people who make mods for Fallout New Vegas, because you look at the, like, and I don't want to say that all mods are, like, really tasteful, but you look at Cyberpunk 2077 mods and you're like, okay, people have taste and are putting their effort into implementing this tasteful thing. And then if, like, it's just immediately different for Fallout games, but particularly New Vegas, because if you've taken the time to put, like, a big titty anime girl in New Vegas, I'm terrified of you, and also your taste isn't good. So as much as I actually want that dream of being a big-titted anime babe in Fallout New Vegas and it actually looking good, it frightens me that people accept such a low level of, like, it's just balloon tits. It's like, no, it's about the craft. It's about doing it correctly. It's not just about, like, my dick is hard. It is about doing it in a way that is tasteful and enjoyable to look at and that isn't tacky and what the fuck am I... This is terrible.
I mean, it's like, okay, there's also a level of effort and taste.
Yes.
Taste is kind of a hard word because it's like...
It is.
It implies, like, taste is very particular and for individuals. However,
and also, like, the things that we like are both totally tasteless. So what am I even talking? I mean, like, aesthetic taste.
I'm going to say it's aesthetic.
Is what I'm being specific about.
The system, like, I used to play IMVU. And I would describe IMVU as, like, the most utterly tasteless place you could possibly be. And it was such
Fallout New Vegas mods are like IMVU.
It's so specifically, like, people of that taste. And you do feel a level of jealousy for people who are so easily satisfied. because truly, like, cartoonishly, like, the most cartoonish, like, almost, like, almost very childish, like, version of horny, right? Like, of, like, definition. It's like this definition that hasn't, like, I don't know. I guess it's because it's New Vegas. Like the idea of the casino, like, hot bimbos. Mm. This is it, right? Like, the thing is, I will say, now that I've spent a lot of time in the cyberpunk modding community, mm-hmm. that shit is not any different. Like, I think it's only more tasteful because Cyberpunk itself is a game with, like, a level of finesse. Like, there is a level of, like, effort that is required to mod that game.
The medium is the message, and I agree with you here.
Exactly. So it's like those are the things that attract the games and the difficulty of making things horny in that way.
It's how hard you have to work to get a level of horny. Yes. And I think what frightens me is the lengths that you have to go to if you want to have sex in Fallout 4, not saying that I've ever done that or that I have not uninstalled those because I think I have other mods that are dependencies on the sex mods that I totally don't have. The amount of work that you have to do to get any passable result makes me afraid of those people. Because it's like, you, I know that I have my rituals that are intricate, but this is a next level. This is like an 8-hour job to get 30 seconds of 3D Pornhub sidebar ad bobbling around.
I mean, it's like that you can't even do that like in Cyberpunk feasibly either. Not feasibly, but like it's just like so difficult to make animations and stuff to that degree. It's just easier to take things out of games and put them in Blender and then rig them for porn, right? Like that, like Overwatch is the way it is because it was that easy to exporting the assets and like getting shaders that look good on Overwatch models was like so unbelievably easy. Whereas like with the Cyberpunk model, it's more difficult. You have to wrap it in a different skeleton, from what I've heard. it's like when you say wrap it in a skeleton, I don't know how you're gonna get turned on enough to like figure something out.
Yeah, it's like the least erotic steps possible. And by the time you've accomplished anything, you've been watching, you've just been seeing horrors beyond your comprehension, and you no longer, you're completely desensitized, and it's like,
yeah, that's, and I actually find that like the most appealing about the Cyberpunk stuff in terms of like porn modding, because I will say the game, I know this is the most insane just like direction we've taken this, literally porn modding, but the Sims, for example, Wicked Whims is probably the most robust porn mod, like animation player is what it technically is, that like for any game I've seen, because I haven't played games frankly I don't play big games to mod porn into them. I'm talking about horny, but we're not, truthfully I don't do that, but it is so robust. But because it is so robust and there is literally hundreds of thousands of animations that you can like install in it, it seems like it's not interesting. However, there's nothing more attractive than like having a clinical approach to horny things. And that's where Cyberpunk is so successful for me for that, because it's like, I'm not horny. I am about to make something so sexy. Like the rituals are intricate, and I can make like a sexy render, take a sexy screenshot. I can download like intercourse. You can install, you wouldn't download intercourse. I can download intercourse, and I have to do, I have to run a marathon. Actually, I have to do an Ironman, like a 5K. I have to swim. I have to do a triathlon in order to get these characters into position. And then by the time I get there, I'm like, I'm immune. I have become immune. However, I know I can inflict this on someone else. That'll be like,
not,
oh my God,
for 3 hours. But at the same time, it's the difference between straight up porn, which I think is the end result for a lot of people who install sex mods, and there's no shade on that whatsoever. But like you said, it's boring. That's boring to me. That is uninteresting. What's interesting is spending 2 hours setting up a Cyberpunk 2077 screenshot where everybody's clothes are on, nothing sexual is happening, but this is the most erotic image you've ever seen in your life, you know?
Exactly.
It's about the aesthetics, it's about the dynamics, it's about the things unsaid, it's about psychoanalysis, it's about
identity,
it's about, and it's not even about like being personally horny, it's about, horniness is a state of mind, it's horny algebra, it's horny arithmetics, it's the horny theory of everything,
the horny theory of everything. I think that's the episode.
It's just like, how can you bring eroticism in all its forms, and how it is truly at its best when it is unconventional and as far away from actual sex as possible?
Truly, though, I actually think eroticism,
how much
is
of this episode is going to land on the cutting room floor?
I don't know, because I just like, I'm so passionate about
this.
We're
speaking the truth, but should we?
Should we speak the truth? I mean, being horny, if you're horny, you should go to jail. You should be killed.
And
I mean, people should talk about you on the internet like you are just the scum of the earth for ever having fucked or not fucked and simply been horny. But once you get past that, a world of opportunity opens to you.
And also, if you want to be really good at the various intricate rituals of creating eroticism in art, just make sure you grew up in a really sexually repressive environment.
Yes.
Like Christianity is
100%.
Because guess what? You grow up, you deconstruct, free imagery, Catholics, you're swimming in it.
Yes, I was Catholic. I was. I feel like maybe you should just stay Catholic so that people know how horny you are when you get to past it, right? Like, you should just be like, yeah, I'm Catholic. And then you, like, wink, and you're like, you just look at them, and you're like, that person's fucked up.
Yeah.
Repression. It really is. But
repression does a lot for you in being able to understand why video games are sexy.
Those rituals are so intricate. I think eroticism is about, because we jokingly call it horny because that's like the that's the vibe, right? But, like, truthfully, I do think that, like, in a literary sense, like, eroticism is the name of the game for us gamers, right?
Like, Fallout is inherently erotic.
If you've seen, you
prove
haven't
me wrong.
you haven't, but if you've seen Pride and Prejudice, the hand touch, like, there's just like there's
okay.
Can
we
about
talk,
it. There's something
can we talk about. Can we talk about Succession for a second
yes,
here?
Speaking of
repression, the rituals being intricate. I'm on the final episode. I have read every script for every episode of Succession. It's taken me like a full week to get through all of them because those episodes are long.
Yes, I believe it.
But, you know, I'm at the end. We're not going to spoil Succession, but just Bitey, the concept of Bitey.
Yes, Bitey. That was crazy.
That's like really the pinnacle of it. Succession gets it. Succession was written by people who have been horny and have good taste. Jerry Roman, for example.
Yes. Incredible. Like, one of the, like, most insane things that I've seen on television. People watch, like, Game of Thrones and they're like, whoa. And I watch Succession, a show that has very little sex, like, actively.
Yeah.
Like, and there are things in it that are better than sex because
like, there's like
better.
What there's one actual sex scene which is Kendall and Rava at a certain point, but then everything else is like
it's fairly tame.
It's a very
by HBO
horny
standards.
Show. And also, it's not, it's the same, it's the thing that I've been complaining about recently of people looking at the stuff in Saltburn and being like, that's so out there. And it's not about being out there. It's about how everything is kind of sexy if you think about it.
Yes, exactly. Like, when it's presented in a way where it's like, oh, okay. Like, you kind of have to either yes and the bit, which is when the world opens up to you and anything, everything is sexy. Or you become repulsed and you have to live with yourself as being the type of person who is repulsed by literally, I don't know, the greatest shit ever. like I do think, I don't know, I think you are supposed to be repulsed. Like, knowing others, even in our situation where we're like so like that fucking ruled about Saltburn, we feel that way in part because we know that repulsion to it exists for others.
Yes, even though it's an incredibly mild thing for there to be, you know, this outside sense. Outside.
I'm a vampire. I said that to her. God,
he did that. Iconic behavior.
It's like, but yeah, it's
and exactly even the way that we're talking about it, it's like that is a Tumblr movie. That is the criticism that is thrown at it, and I think it's true. I don't think that's the condemnation that people mean it as, and maybe it's just because I'm too Tumblr brained from having spent important years, you know, mainlining it. But
I'm still mainlining that shit. I do think that, like, I think that the people who would lay that criticism down don't actually understand what the issue is with culture on Tumblr. Like, I would argue as a Tumblr, I'm like, you don't get it. Also, people on Tumblr, I don't even know if they like that movie. Like, I genuinely wouldn't know because that website doesn't have an algorithm, so it doesn't know that I watched that movie, so it doesn't care. And I would never see a post about it unless someone I know watched it, and they did. The people that I follow on Tumblr, shout out to them, that are really into wrestling and other such things, they got Saltburn. They understood, okay? If you like wrestling, you understand Saltburn for sure.
Wrestling is the ultimate. The rituals are intricate. And is that not where it we're taking is. It from, of inventing intricate rituals to touch the skin of other men?
Yes.
I guess we do have to explain that. We've explained essentially nothing, but
you want to explain the rituals?
They're intricate. They're intricate. There's a Jenny Holzer great truism image for folks at home. It's actually, I don't know the context of these men fighting, but the
Oh, wait, it's not Jenny Holzer. It's Barbara... What's her name?
Barbara Kruger. Oh, my God.
Yes, sorry. It's okay. Sorry to these beautiful, iconic women.
Thank you for, like, correcting me on that right now, because I would have lost my shit if I realized that 2 weeks later. Anyway, but the caption is, you construct intricate rituals which allow you to touch the skin of other men.
Yes.
And that's the thesis statement of my entire approach to the world.
Yes.
Everything is an intricate ritual.
Yeah, and that's...
Except for recording this podcast, which is a burning trash fire that a raccoon is also digging around in.
End of my joint. Hello.
Hey, 420. Is this unlistenable? I have no idea. To me, this is very listenable, but also I'm very stoned.
We're so passionate. We care.
My bones are broken.
Your bones are broken.
Also like, this will go on the internet if me talking impassioned about eroticism.
I
just want it to be known that if anybody would like to comment anything to me, you're not it. You just don't get it.
You just don't get it. That's what it comes down to. I don't know. Do you think that the reason we feel uncomfortable about sharing this is because we genuinely don't think anybody else would get it? Or do we think that people are more likely to be revulsed by it in the way that we just described?
Well, it's like the fear of talking about that stuff online as not a man, just because of how easily it gets used against you as being any amount of sexual online. And in my head, when I say this, it's like, it's not even sex. This is about eroticism.
Yeah, we're talking about eroticism.
Just because it opens up people to feel entitled to say weird shit to you, which they do anyway. But I mean, it's so particular and pointed in that sense. And so,
yeah.
In the same way that you and I are incredibly open about this stuff, just because we get to scream in private, it's like a different thing here. But it stands.
I think my thing is I find it less concerning, even though if someone in my family were to listen to this, I'd be mortified. But for me, it's a little different because the few and only times I spoke on Game Grumps were when I protested Aaron not wanting to fuck Mewtwo. I feel like that when you go hot out the gate straight into why the fuck wouldn't you fuck that Pokemon? Why the is fucking wrong with you, Aaron and Dan? Mostly Dan. Dan doesn't fuck Pokemon, but Aaron probably looks at the same websites on Pixiv that I do. So hey bro. I'm passing my imaginary joint. The internet, I don't know. People are gonna make an excuse about whatever the fuck they want. So I guess talking about how sexy Nick Valentine is one of the most absurd fucking thing. Everything we've talked about tonight is one of the most absurd fucking things you could point to that would just make you look insane. Probably
it's
if
also,
you tried to
yes,
pull on
it's,
us.
It's good luck making fun of me, because the fact that I was willing to even say this on a podcast that real actual people listen to, including people I know and members of my family,
people that I respect,
you simply
and I would like to respect me.
you can't use that again. I've already said it. There's nothing that you're gonna say to me that's meaner about me than the shit that I either experienced IRL or that I do to myself every day. So you're literally not gonna embarrass me more than the perpetual state of shame I've literally always existed in. I'm above it on this stuff. I'll own it. Joshua Graham, New Vegas war criminal. I'm about it. I'm here for it. We don't even need to find Nick Valentine a dick. That's the thing. I think that's the coward's way out. You make it work.
Hancock, radioactive.
You make
semen,
it work.
It's we rat away. We just take that shit if that's the way it takes.
Exactly. I mean, I think you're a coward if you let that stop you.
I agree. That's the thing is, all of this, I also think that people, when they listen to this type of stuff and they are repulsed by it, they think that, oh my God, if you literally met this ghoul in real life, you would fuck him. And I'm like, this isn't real.
Yeah.
this is not real. I also think that there's a level of, sexuality is imaginary and so is sex is a fake. Sex isn't real.
Sex that is fake, like, everybody.
Like, there's like a level of that that at least in terms of the idea of it in the porn they put in, we can inject into these videos. Like, you, like, all right. of that is so not reality. It is not real. The things we were talking about are also just not real because these characters don't exist. Like, they don't, yeah. None of this is real. It's entirely fantasy, including the acts, like, including, like, yeah. I don't know, the Brotherhood of Steel isn't real. Like, it's like people aren't
None of these
secretly
are
robots.
None We're
of them
drawing
are
weird
robots.
Arbitrary lines around, like, what we consider yeah. is real and not real.
And also, acceptability. That's also the thing is, like, oh, if you're going to take this seriously, I don't know. Good luck. I don't know. Do you
Good luck
take
applying
it to your...
this to, like, being weird to me in any way about it. It's like...
No, I guess the only way you could be weird about it is
that's
by
not
being
a
like equally
That's
into
not a
it.
Challenge. Yeah, it's not a challenge. I'm not challenging the listener. I'm just saying that, you know, there's another dimension to enjoying things if you are
and
a pervert.
The horn yes, that is the horny dimension, the eroticism, right?
It's the horny theory of everything. Mm-hmm. The erotic theory of everything.
God, it's so beautiful when you put it that way.
Yeah. It is.
2 seconds. I gotta close my door.
My back hurts. My back hurts. hey, remember when we saw Health together in real life?
Talking about people that just fucking understand horny. Like,
yeah.
Truly. Shout out to everyone in that. I mean, Johnny Health, Joe, mm-hmm. I think his name is, and then Jake and BJ. The message.
Sad music for horny
yes,
people.
The message is so there, and it's so, I don't know. It's shit like that. One, we saw that show as comfortably as a person. Like I always yes. describe this to people. We saw the show. It was the first show of their tour. I think they mm-hmm. like. We got to go and sit at a bar stool setup where we had a table in front of us. So I tell people that going to the show was like watching it from my desk on my computer.
Yes.
Because that's what it felt like.
Well, yeah. And I would have had not as good a time if I was in the pit that we got to watch from a remove. Because it wasn't even just that we were at chairs. We were like
yeah.
in a corral.
Yeah.
That was just other people in chairs. So yes. our little square was completely calm. And you feel... that industrial noise in your mm-hmm. chest. And now every time Stonefist comes on,
yes.
I'm like, oh, I wish I could feel it
yeah.
in my bones again, in yeah. my broken bones.
It'll make the metal plates really vibrate, really yeah. conduct the sound.
Oh, I so much. And Pixel Grip opening.
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh, my. It's the. So, like, I think also there's something really great about going to do a thing that you don't like, that is really like clearly going, like going to a show is not my thing. Like,
yeah, it's not mine either. And both of us being not show people,
yes,
going to see this thing that we are both mutually obsessed with,
yes,
but and doing it in the most comfortable and
yes.
mutually supportive way possible.
Exactly.
It very was special.
It was so wonderful. Like, probably one of the top five experiences of my life, because like it,
same.
Like you said, it hits all those things. Like, it hits like the it, none of the stress of going out was really like there, other than like
yeah
other than like what
stoned,
you had to drive in the rain. It was super
stoned,
rainy,
enjoying our little table, and then they played XS and we held hands.
Yes,
and it was just like a beautiful moment.
Yeah, every moment of us like watching next song comes on and we both look at each other, we're like thinking about Cyberpunk 2077
yeah.
and we're like, oh my god, and then we go back and we write down a bunch of ideas for like shit we want to
yes.
make. It was
yeah
really truly like one of the best experiences I've had recently.
It was so wonderful. Thank you for doing that with me. Let's do it again.
Yes, let's please do it again. I yeah anything I think, and that's okay to bring it all back around to like mm-hmm. fucking fandom and shit like that. I do think like doing shit that you like and being comfortable is kind of like the real thing that decides, at least for me, whether or not a video game maybe perhaps is good. There's a lazy way where like digestibility is not a great scale by which to like measure things mm-hmm. because pop music that has been like, you know, extremely cooked by like a person mm-hmm. trying to get money out of you is often
right.
usually very digestible in a, like a lame way. that doesn't actually serve that. But like the idea of like probably if Fallout 4 was as ambitious as Cyberpunk 2077 is in the scale of its themes and like writing and shit, and mm-hmm. it missed, I would not have fucking liked that game. Like that's the yeah. thing is like there's something like about a bad game that because it's got glimpses of greatness, something flawed, not even a bad game, just something flawed that like you yeah. see glimpses of greatness, you have the comfort of approaching it. Not even about eroticism. This is just like in general, like taste, yeah. I guess, is an idea. Like you approach it and you're like, I can yes and this. Like there's more of a collaborative, like I can extrapolate yeah. upon what's here. That
I'm engaging with
fun.
This critically
yeah.
In a way that makes me think about what's the nature of the things that I like about media and why I like
yes.
them and how do I apply that to my own work when I'm doing stuff. And also it's just more, you know, if the option in your little brain play space is you have a pristine, perfect toy mm-hmm. or you have one that's like missing an arm mm-hmm. and has nail polish all over it because you were trying to paint it a different color, I want to play with that one because mm-hmm. it's more interesting and more fun.
Yep.
So that's why everybody should play Fallout 4 even though it is a bad Fallout game.
It's, yeah, it's like it's measuring how much you personally can get from it and yeah. if like you are personally willing to I don't know. It's not overlook, but it really does to me feel like a collaborative experience.
Yes,
creatively.
Exactly.
Like creatively, exactly. Something more bare bones that's like got flaws or whatever. I will say, I do think now that I think about it, my biggest complaint about the new Fallout show might be pacing. Like it is, I do think like in terms of digestibility that is there, but like it's interesting right. to like think about. I don't know. It's interesting to think about like what's successful and what's not successful about things. I think people get mm-hmm. stressed about that and they don't want to like think about weighing things on a scale of positive and negative. Yeah. But I think if like truly nothing has been helping me creatively more than to enjoy something I think is really flawed because it comes down to me being like, wow, I got this much enjoyment out of this despite its like massive flaws. That means that the things I make might still indeed touch people, even if they are massively flawed and not good.
Yeah, and the magic of a piece of media is not the thing existing as a bauble on its lonesome,
yep.
as like a platonic ideal of what it is. Mm-hmm. It's what it is once an audience has gotten their paws on it.
Yes.
And like maybe as a creator or whatever, that's a difficult thing to accept about the stuff that you make. But when you think about the things that you love, it is about that relationship that you mm-hmm. yourself are personally, emotionally building with the song, band, movie, TV show, whatever, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the relationship between you and the media, and that's what makes it special. And the fact that everyone's relationship is in like a fingerprint mm-hmm. or a snowflake, entirely unique.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just reduce all discourse about something into dumping the opinion into one bucket, number one or bucket number two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it inherently kills what is interesting and good about media and mm-hmm. what is emotionally and creatively fulfilling about engaging with pieces of art. Let's go.
Yeah. And not to mention, it's also about the relationship between me and that sexy ass ghoul. Come on, right? Like
Walton Goolgins, let's go.
That's also, it's like, yeah, there's the horny, but there is the like emotional fulfillment, I guess, yeah. and the creative fulfillment.
And also, you can also get horny out of the emotional fulfillment.
Yes!
I mean, it's all, everything's horny, in short.
Yeah.
Everything is erotic.
Yeah. Wow, what a just such a beautiful message we got there. We really got,
I think
we
so.
Really
we
brought it
around.
All together. Yeah.
Yeah.
To the
it's
end there.
It's barely coherent. But and I think a lot of this is gonna get cut.
That's fine.
But I hope that everybody enjoyed this episode because I was considering dropping out and not doing this today due
I'm
to
so
the broken bones and
this
and the hospital for the next few days and excruciating pain that I am in for. But I thought that this show is always best when I am either in emotional or physical pain. So that thesis
no.
was correct. And here we are. And I'm just so happy to spend time with you and talk about our
Same.
Theories that are only, even as wonderful as this is, This is the dialed down version.
Yeah. This is the, like, we know someone's going to hear us and I'm not going to accidentally slip up and be like, this is just like the great My Little Pony Ship Wars of, I don't actually know anything about that. I was, you know, like bringing up the real bottom of the barrel Tumblr moments that I have opinions on. I don't really have any opinions on those, though.
Well, it's friendship. What we're talking about is friendship. And as much as we can record ourselves talking to each other, there's still the barrier that, the non-existence of that barrier with you is like my favorite thing. And the thing that I love about our friendship is the thing that can only exist when the mics are off. And that's an intangible quality.
That's so true. You don't have to explain why you like things to everyone. You also don't have to share the real things that, you know, you have in your relationships publicly.
Yeah,
the real connections.
It's just like the connection between you and in a piece of media that's special to you,
exactly.
And that you love. It's the relationship that matters.
So don't justify why you think that the Fallout New Vegas is better. I believe you. I do. I already believe you. You don't need tell us in the comments.
It doesn't even matter. Like, exactly. That's the thing. This is Allie and my relationships with these media. I don't want to be prescriptive about how you feel about X, Y, and Z piece of media. Mm-hmm. I am attempting to call out the way that the nature of the relationships that people have with the media.
Yes.
It's whatever. Good movies are bad. Bad movies are good. Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter. It is about your experience and the way that we police and dictate the way that everybody else, the terms of engagement with all pieces of media are now being like formalized and set out on the least interesting terms possible.
Least interesting is like a really great way of describing that. And also like,
be more interesting, be more.
Yeah.
Erotic.
I think if the rule, it's true, if the rituals were more intricate for being a hater, then maybe I would be one too. I just can't get behind it because the rituals for liking things seem real, real fucked up and intricate. Like building an IKEA bookcase intricate. Like you're reading signs and symbols that you don't even think the writer put there, but they were tapped into something. They were on some shit that was
uncomplicatedly hot. Hating something is boring.
It is so boring.
All right, great. Well, so if you listen to this episode and you hated it,
you better have an intricate ritual for explaining why prepared, so that at least if I have to read your comment, I can jerk off while I'm doing it.
That's the ultimate threat. It's like, oh, what, you're gonna bully me in the comments? I'll come. Fuck you.
Exactly.
Wow. Thanks everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode that in its final form is likely 20 minutes long.
It will all have been worth it. You can find the rest on my OnlyFans. The parts that we cut, we'll put it there. I just have to make the OnlyFans. Just give me like a week, okay? Give me like a week or two to make the OnlyFans. All right.
How this is coming out on Friday.
It's fine. Somebody will get to it. If they can unearth it, they're like fucking Indiana Jones.
Maybe we don't end on OnlyFans.
It's fine. We can end it on friendship.
Oh my god.
I had to really scroll back mentally there.
I love you, Allie.
I love you too, Layton. This is so great.
This was a treat. Anybody who's still listening.
Oh, are we still recording? I was just brazenly.
God bless
just
you.
Saying my love.
No, we just need to, wrap it up. Folks at home. All right, see ya.
Should I wrap it up? Hey, folks at home, don't do drugs. It makes you start podcasts. It's not great. If you play Fallout 4 and you like it, tell me personally why, because I do want to hear that. Who are you fucking in Fallout? That's if it's somebody that's not romanceable, bonus points to you. Really want to hear about that one. If you played Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty and you also found Kurt Hansen handsome,
why would they name him that if they didn't expect you to find him like kind of handsome?
Exactly. If you found him handsome, also leave a comment. You can find me at the 7-Eleven around the corner 3 evenings a week drinking out of a brown paper bag.
It's an off season for me, but after I'm able to walk on 2 feet again, that dumpster behind the 7-Eleven better look out.
Yeah.
All right. Bye, everybody. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Late in Night is produced by Brian Wecht, Leighton Gray. Sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/Leighton Night. Follow us on Twitter at Leighton Night, on Instagram at Leighton_Night, or email us at LeightonNight@gmail.com.